Good evening, brethren. I'm certainly thankful to the Lord for giving me the opportunity again to be here today, gather together, worship him in spirit and in truth. And I appreciate you welcoming me back again and your kindness and the love that you have shown me has really humbled me before the Lord and before you, and I thank the Lord for you. And I thank the Lord for the wonderful meal we have enjoyed together, the drinks, and also the fellowship we have had one with another for a short period of time. And you taking your time to come tonight so that we can worship our true living God. As I left home, my family, the church that I pastor, and some fellowships that I serve, send their love and the greetings to you all. Unfortunately, my wife was not able to come with me because she was not able to get a visa. But hopefully next time, the Lord willing, if the Lord would have not come back again, we hope to meet again, and probably if it pleases the Lord and she gets a visa, we'll come together. Tonight, I want us to focus or take our mind to a piece of scripture that I have in my mind that I want to share with you from the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 1. Starting from verse 1, I read the first, verse 1 to verse 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul makes an opening remark in this chapter, saying who he is and what he does. And when you look most of his letters, the Apostle Paul writes with an opening of describing or identifying or introducing himself, and then he goes further to say by whose authority he writes that letter. And then we have the body or the purpose of the letter, the message that he has, and to who he's writing to, and then he makes a closing remark. Most of his letters, if you can scrutinize them, they just appear like most of the letters that are written in the world today. And it is very important for us to know the writer of the letter. And once we know who the writer is, then it makes us to understand his background. Like now, the Apostle Paul, before the Lord met him, he was a different man and he had a different name. He was called Saul of Tarsus. And to know much of his background and what he was doing, if you go back to the book of Acts chapter 9, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 9. I know all of us knows about it. We have read about the Apostle Paul, his background and history and what he was doing. But let's go back and see what the Bible tells us about the Apostle Paul, who was Saul by then. The Bible says that, and Saul, verse 1, that is chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So when we look at this chapter, we are told of a man by the name Saul. And Saul was an Hebrew name that meant great. So Saul was considered as a great man before the eyes of the Jewish religious leaders. So he went to the high priest, sought letters, and he was given authority, like a policeman who can go and be given a warrant of arrest, so the government can cover him because he has been given authority to come and arrest those that he is required to arrest. So here, Saul was given letters of authority. He was given authority to go and arrest people who were gathered like we are gathered here today, so that he can arrest them, take them to Jerusalem, so that they can be jailed or beaten or sometimes killed because they were talking about the word of God. So Saul, the Bible says that, and as he journeyed, verse 3, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. This is a man who was declared or seen or considered as a great man before the eyes of the Jews' religious leaders. And then he thought that with all the authority that he was given, he could do whatever he wanted to the Lord's people. God is so powerful and God is so sovereign. He can change even the worst enemy of his grasp. Amen. When it pleases him and if it pleases him. Not that when it pleases the preacher or when it pleases the one who persecutes the Lord. Because sometimes in our lives, we do evil things, and then maybe as parents, they keep on telling their sons or daughters that stop doing this, it's not a good thing, it's not a moral thing. And then they don't stop, they keep on doing it. Maybe it might come a time when this victim or whoever is doing these evil acts, let me decide to stop doing whatever I'm doing because it has become too much. So this is not the case before the Lord. Because the Bible describes us as enemies of God before we were born of the Spirit of God. And furthermore, we were dead in our sins and the trespasses, that we could not seek after God. So Saul could not come to a time when he could say, Lord, enough is enough, please forgive me, I've come. If he could have done that, then we should know the Lord might have worked in his heart first. Then he could have felt guilty in his heart and then confessed to the Lord of his sins. So the Lord must work in your heart first through his Holy Spirit before actions proceed. Grace of God comes first, and then actions later. If you read the story of Noah, the Bible tells us that in the book of Genesis, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then later on is when the Lord is giving him instructions to make the ark. Noah did not make the ark first so that he can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it pleased the Lord for Noah to find grace in his eyes. That is all of us where we were. It pleased the Lord when we found grace in his eyes. And then he quickened us, gave us a spiritual life. And before then, we know that before the world began, he had made his own covenant on how to redeem his people from going to hell. And this covenant was a one-sided covenant. It had no condition at all on a dead sinner. Amen. And since God is all-knowing and he is all-powerful, he knew Adam could sin. It did not surprise God that Adam had sinned. He knew Adam could sin even before he created him, even before he created the world. And in his mind, because out of his foreknowledge, he chose a people from the fallen race of Adam, who are you and me, and put them in Jesus Christ. And in due time, he sent him to die for the sins of his people. And by grace, we got saved.
Amen.
So the Apostle Paul was like us. We were not better off than the Apostle Paul. If you read the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible describes us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead, past tense. And here is a person who has quickened somebody. Jesus Christ is the one who has quickened us. The Apostle Paul was reminding the saints at Ephesus, telling them they were dead, but now they have been quickened and given a spiritual life. To quicken is to be given a spiritual life. And then verse 2, it describes on how they were. They were the children of wrath as others. That is how all of us we were. We were in that condition before the Lord had grace on us. We had grace in his eyes and quickened us. So we were not better off than the Apostle Paul. All of us were dead in our trespasses and sins. So Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, was looking for people who were gathered like this, who were singing about Jesus Christ, praising God, who were gathered, comforting each other in the word of God, and bring them to Jerusalem. And on his way to Damascus, the Bible tells us that the Lord met him and struck him. And if baptism could have been a way of changing one or giving one a spiritual life, it was too late, because the Lord had already dealt with him. If hearing the gospel so that you can be saved from going to hell, or you can have a spiritual life, or be quickened, it was too late. Because the Lord has dealt with him. Just as the wind blows, is the way the Lord's Holy Spirit blows to his people, wherever they are, when it pleases him, and at what time, and when, and who. And all this is by his grace. Yes. And we love him because he loved us, even when we were dead. Imagine somebody who is dead, stinking, and then the Lord could love that person in that condition. Right. We have our loved ones who have gone, who have died. And at the moment they have died, if you leave them and you can't preserve the body the following morning, you just can't even if he or she was your wife or husband, you can just run away because of the stinking smell. But God loved us even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. God loved us even when we were his enemies. Imagine an enemy like the Apostle Paul, who is persecuting Jesus Christ, though he was not persecuting him personally, he was persecuting his church. And as the Lord says that as much as you persecute or do bad things to this young child, you have done unto me. So the Apostle Paul was persecuting the Lord's church, and now he is asking the Lord, who art thou, Lord, that I have persecuted? So the Apostle Paul was thinking like Saul, before now he's converted or been born again, he's thinking that he was directly persecuting Jesus Christ in his mind, without knowing that those that he was persecuting the Lord, because they were God's children. So here the Lord has changed him, and Saul, who was a great man, has now been changed to a small man, and before in his eyes, he saw himself as a small man. Just as Paul saw himself, Paul is a Roman name which means small. So as he saw himself small, we ourselves also need to be content or be satisfied as being small, so that we can be able to magnify the eyes of the Lord as a high and a living God. We should not take the glory of God. As much as he has quickened us by his grace, we should not see ourselves better than others. Let's try to see others as better than we, so that we can be as those little children that the Lord Jesus told his disciples when they came unto him, asking, who among themselves is the greatest? And then they were thinking like, as we parents, in the natural sense in this world, we tend to teach our children to be somebody, to rise up above others. Even in football, we were watching a game the other day. I know you love football. And I could encourage you, as much as you love football, just love the Lord as much more than football. And I know all of us love food, because food gives us nourishment to our bodies, so that whenever any disease attacks us, we find our immunity is strong. And also for the growth of the natural body. As much as we love that food we eat, let's also love the Word of God. Amen. So that we can be nourished spiritually, so that our spiritual immunity can be strong, so that any wind of doctrine that comes across cannot throw us down. Right. So we tend to tell our children to grow up as somebody, to be on top. As those disciples who went to Jesus in Matthew 18, wanting to know who was the greatest among themselves. Jesus brought a young child. And they told them they must be converted like this small child. And then whoever is converted and become like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the Apostle Paul, after seeing him, after he has been changed, has been dealt with the Lord, he has seen himself as a small man. He has seen himself as the chief of sinners. He has seen himself as the least of all saints. How about you? I wish all of us could be like the Apostle Paul. I wish all of us could see ourselves as the least of all saints. I wish we could see ourselves or feel like being the chief of sinners. If we can feel that way, then we can be able to magnify the greatness of God before our eyes. And depend upon him, and whatever we ask, whatever we do, knowing that we can do nothing without the Lord. Going back to our text in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul continues to say that Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Here, we learn that the Apostle Paul never called himself to be an apostle. He never decided or took his glory to say, now I'm the apostle of Jesus Christ. He was called by Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you can turn with me for a minute, keeping your finger on our main text. The Apostle Paul says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. So from here, we learn that the Apostle Paul was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. He was never called an apostle through the will of a preacher or through the will of the church. The church never called him an apostle. Sadly, we have people in this world who claim to be God's children. Of course, they might be, because I have no parameter to judge, and God knoweth those who are his, who have taken the glory to call themselves the apostles. They have taken the glory, they have taken that part of God calling his people, separating them to be saints, and sends them forth to go and preach the gospel. They have taken that role of God, meaning they have robbed God's power, glory, and roles. They have set mission boards to send people abroad to go and save people. And the Bible tells us it is God who saves his people by grace and not works. There are places that you may not go to preach the gospel to save his people by works, if that is what they believe. You can be killed, because Christianity is never a food in their menu. Like in Somalia, you go preach Christianity, they kill you. But we are comforted by the Bible that God has a people from every nation, kindred, and tongue. And the Holy Spirit will take care of those people. Just like the wind blows, the Holy Spirit will blow to those people, and at the appropriate time that pleases the Lord, for them to be quickened, they are given a spiritual life, and in their heart they know there is a God in heaven. Amen. And when he comes back again, he will take them home together with us. Yes. Because the Bible tells us we are his sheep, and he made us. And the goats are the goats. they remain to be the gods. They are unregenerate, they are unrighteous, because all of us never deserved to be the sheep, but by his grace, he made us to be his sheep. Amen. And his Holy Spirit takes care of his people. Right. And someday when he's coming back again, all of us shall sing together the song of the Lamb, the song of the Holy Spirit with one language. Amen. And together we shall live with him forever and forever. Amen. So the Apostle Paul goes on to say he is a servant of Jesus Christ. A servant is somebody who is a slave. So he describes himself as a slave, and to be a slave, you have to adhere to the commands of your master. Jesus Christ is our master. Amen. He has given us the commandments to follow. He has given us the teachings, and he has given us the work to do. Right. Just like a servant who obeys his master to do whatever he commands him to do, we have to see ourselves as servants and not masters. Sadly, there are men of the Lord's people who take the glory, who have taken the opportunity to see themselves as masters over the Lord's people. They have robbed God's title. Jesus is our master. Amen. So when the Apostle Paul tells us he's a servant of Jesus Christ, to be an apostle separated from the gospel, if you read in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, the whole of it, there is a part that the Apostle Paul says that when it pleased the Lord, he separated him unto the ministry of the gospel to be his servant. And I believe all of us have been chosen, separated by God, and all of us are servants. We serve God in various ways, not necessarily from the pulpit. As much as you serve the Lord's children or one of the little of God's children, you have served the Lord. As much as you have prayed for your pastor, you are serving the Lord. As much as you come here every morning, open up the door and do the cleaning, you have served the Lord. And how blessed are we to know that we are the servants. We are not masters. Amen. And Jesus is our master. Yes. And we have to obey his command. He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Right. So we have to obey the Lord's word. Yes. So when the Apostle Paul goes on to say that he was separated from the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the whole scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Hear what the Apostle Paul says. When we read the scriptures, like now in John 5:39 says, study the scriptures, ye search the scriptures, for ye think, I don't have to misquote what the Bible says. John 5, John 5, 39 says that, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So the whole scripture, right from Genesis to Revelation, is a testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no life, there is no formula of getting eternal life in this written word of God. It has no power to give life to a dead sinner. Amen. It is food to a born-again child of God. It is a constitution of the kingdom of God, which is his church here on this earth. Yes. And it is our own rule of faith. So when you read from Genesis to Revelation, it talks about all about Jesus Christ. In the books of the prophecy or the prophets, they talk about Jesus Christ. So this is the gospel. The Apostle Paul is saying that which he was separating the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Remember, the Lord telling David that out of his seed shall come a king who shall sit on the throne. He never meant the earthly kingdom or the earthly king on a king on an earthly kingdom. He meant Jesus Christ, who is the everlasting king in an everlasting kingdom. Amen. And in the Old Testament, there were two types of groups that were being anointed. We had the kings and the priests. So Jesus is the anointed king. And he is the anointed high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he is seated on the throne interceding for us. He is the king, and he came in this world in the human flesh. When we read in the book of John, the Gospel of John, the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you read downwards, it tells us that how this Word was made flesh, that is Jesus in the form of a human being through the Virgin Mary. He was born. 100% the Son of Man, 100% the Son of God. And in the triune, that is the three in one, we read that Jesus is the Son of God, that is the second in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Word, which is another name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was never made a son of man with power. He had been the Son of God with power, because he is God, manifest in the human flesh. He has power over all flesh. So Jesus is God manifest in the human flesh. And he is the king seated in the kingdom of God, an everlasting king in a spiritual kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom. And he came, died for his people, and he brought his government, his kingdom, which is the church, here, where his people dwell temporarily as we wait to be taken home. And then, verse 4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. The Apostle Paul would have not been an apostle had it not been for the grace of God. We would have not been God's children had it not been for the grace of God. God, out of his grace, he loved us and made us his children. And all of these children will be quickened or will be brought to spiritual life before they die from this world. They will be made alive. They have a spiritual life by God's grace. And these are the subjects of the King who is Jesus Christ, an everlasting King. So the Apostle Paul had grace, and then he was made an apostle by God's grace, and he was told to go to the nations to preach the gospel. You cannot be an obedient child of God if you have not been born of the Spirit of God. And you cannot be born of the Spirit of God if you don't have grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace is everything in the eyes of in our lives. Because by His grace, He gave us a spiritual life. By His grace, we are here as His children worshiping Him. By His grace, we are able to obey Him. Because first of all, we have to be born, then we are able to obey the things of the Spirit of God. Just like the Apostle Paul was commanded to go and preach the gospel. As the Bible says that by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And then he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul, not only was he to be obedient to the faith, but he had to be obedient to go and preach the gospel so that he can lead God's people to be obedient to the faith that was given to the saints. So just like the Apostle Paul, we also need to feel pardoned to go out there, preach the gospel, be obedient to the gospel, to God, so that we can preach the gospel and lead to the Lord's children to be obedient also to the faith that was given to the saints, so that they can have peace in their hearts, they can rejoice in the Lord, knowing that the Lord has saved them by His grace and nothing they can do to attain that eternal life besides the grace of God. And rather than going to work out for their own righteousness, they can have comfort and peace in their hearts that the Savior Jesus Christ did it all. And then, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. The Apostle Paul was not writing to all that were in Rome without the exception. He was writing to the saints of God. And a saint is one who has a holy nature. And to have a holy nature, you have to be born again. So he was writing to those who have been born of the Spirit of God. He was not writing to everybody in Rome. Because we know God did not love everybody. The fact that the Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world, we need to make a clear distinction what type of world is under consideration. Because we have the world of football. When we come to analyze things here and now, we have the world of football. When we say the world of football does not mean the world of business or the world of athletes or the world of education. So that is a very specific area which has people who do business or who do football. So here, when he says the world, for God so loved the world, he clearly says that it is the world of the elect. Those people that God chose in him are the ones that are referred to John 3:16. He loved them and sent his son to die for them. So when the Apostle Paul is writing to all those that are in Rome, does not mean that he was writing to everyone who was existing by that time in Rome. He was writing to the saints. He was writing to those who have been born of the Spirit of God, those who are God's children. And he's also writing to us today. What is the name of this area? God, Gordon. So the Apostle Paul, when he's making a reference encouraging those who are in Rome, is also writing to us today, the saints, not everybody who lives in this community. So he says, beloved, called to be saints, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, tonight, may we be encouraged that the war has been accomplished. It is not a war between nations. Remember, we were enemies of God when we sinned in the Garden of Eden. And then Jesus came to atone us by his blood. We were bought by nothing, we are not bought by gold nor silver, but we were bought by his precious blood. And now we have peace with God, because peace is a fruit of the Spirit. May we be rest assured that God, who is our Father, is an everlasting Father with an everlasting love to his people. Amen. He knows our problems. He knows our challenges, the storms that we go through our lives. Yes. He's there for us because he knows everything. He may not give us as we desire, but his grace is more sufficient. May God bless you as we endeavor to be servants of the Lord, who saved us by his grace and bought us with his precious blood. And now we are his saints, we are his children, and we are his servants, and he is our master. May we look upon him and obey his commandments. May God bless you.